Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Salmon Trout Steelheader Podcast. It has been a while, and thanks for tuning in. But I have been active and busy, you know, a lot of projects, a lot of things, and thankfully, some fishing. And if you follow the Salmon Trout Steelheader YouTube channel, which if you don't, I really, really would appreciate if you could go over to YouTube and check it out. And if you got a Gmail or a YouTube account, just hit that subscribe button. And then if you're on there, you know, Tony and Nick are doing a really nice job doing videos. And I've got a lot of older videos if you look a couple years back. Plus, I'm also on the most recent one, which I'll get to in a bit. But they're doing a good job. And every time you guys like or comment or share it to someone, it really does make a difference. You know, these guys are putting in great work, and every one of you that's supporting them through subscribing on the website just allows us to continue to do things like the podcast and, you know, the free articles online and everything like that, plus all the latest and greatest in the magazine. So anyway, I want to talk about this little trip I had just briefly here, and you'll be able to see a bit of it on the video. Just look, I think Tony called it Winter Steelhead, So Many We Lost Count. Or something like that. And it was a fantastic day with Tyler Kraft. So you guys are going to have to check that out. For me, it was one of the most phenomenal days. You know, this is a rain-fed, spring-fed river. And right around mid-March is just peak timing of both. Of mostly wild, but with some hatchery fish. We did end up hooking a couple hatchery fish. And one of them was actually in nice condition right at the tail out. So that was really nice. And anyway, so long story short, it was really nice where literally every spot we pulled up to, you know, normally you're on a steelhead trip and you're with your buddies and you're like, oh man, doesn't this look juicy right now? And you fish that one and, you know, no bites, and you do another and another, and then finally you do find one in one of those juicy runs. Well, in this case, every single place that we pulled up to, we would find a fish, and it was phenomenal. You know, and then the water dropped out, and, you know, some rivers closed, and on other rivers where it was really good, it got tougher for a bit, and then the bite picked back up. And you know what? I'm going to say I've heard from multiple people that this has been one of the best steelhead years in several years. Not record-breaking by any means, but an encouraging sign as well as a lot of younger adult steelhead. So adult steelhead, when they're born and they are born, like say a certain portion or population of steelhead is born a certain year, their freshwater and ocean migrations are not all going to be the same. And steelhead can rear in freshwater and even stay as residents and never even go out. But ones that do go out have really the option, based upon when they really feel the need to spawn, on when to come back, and thus they can stay for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, they've documented many years in the ocean before even coming back to spawn. And so, contrary to what some may think, if you hear like a 3-salt fish, that doesn't mean that fish has spawned 3 times and been to the salt 3 times. That's not at all the case. It means it went out, stayed for 3 years in the ocean, and then came in. Either way, we're looking at a lot of younger year class fish, you know, perhaps 1 and 2. Smaller steelhead, a lot of numbers, not as many big fish, but some nice ones still. And what that would suggest is it was a good brood year, and theoretically some fish from that brood year would be arriving next year, which would be the larger ones. And that is one of the things about steelhead as far as their diversity, the fact that they can have freshwater or ocean, you know, either resident phases or anadromous phases, and can stay for multiple years in the ocean. It really gives them a diversity that allows for the species to survive. And if we can just see, you know, perhaps a little uptick in steelhead, it would be wonderful, because there has been some excellent salmon fishing that we should be thankful for, you know, that didn't necessarily exist before, you know, like, for instance, springer fishing in the Columbia for decades was shut down, I believe, as well as summer Chinook. And we have that opportunity, as well as sockeye. And some other good things happening there, but the Pacific coast has experienced a big downturn. Now, one other thing I want to mention is that this year, you know, I have a lot of faith in plugs when I'm fishing big tidewater like the Columbia or something like that. But I have never really experienced good plug fishing in a tributary. And this year, it was really cool to at least get two on plugs, although I was mostly getting fish on other techniques. I did get two on plugs, and there is an article on the website. I'm not even going to read the whole thing. I really think you should. If you get a chance to go to salmontroutsteelhider.com, there's just a wealth of information. And while you're there, anything you can do on the website to support in the store, we sure appreciate it. There's some really good deals going on right now. So, without further ado, as they say, putting in a plug for steelhead fishing by Bob Rees. I believe Bob was a president of the Northwest Steelheaders, if I'm not mistaken. I am frequently telling my customers to put out their plugs when I'm going through the tail out of the previous hole I fished. That way, as soon as you can dig in your oars after passing through the shallow water, your plugs are fishing. With the onset of the side drifting and bobber dogging fleet, back trolling plugs has become somewhat of a lost art. It would be foolish not to have this strategy as a viable option on today's rivers. There's been more than one time in recent history when our crew did a late start well behind a fleet of side drifters and bobber doggers, only to catch more fish than they because it's a technique that fish aren't accustomed to for much of the day, or over the course of the season for that matter. Trolling plugs for salmon and steelhead is a very versatile technique that can be employed in many different situations. Back trolling and forward trolling plugs in Oregon's rivers and estuaries remains a productive tactic wherever salmon and steelhead can be encountered. By the way, this article is brought to you by Williams Lures, Brex, and Eagle Claw. Rods, reels, and line. Rods are particularly important when fishing plugs. A fast action tip on a lighter rod enables the plug to work more freely when attempting to attract fish to your lure. This type of rod also enables an angler to detect when the plug is properly working. The rod the serious plug angler should seek should be about 7.5 to 8.5 feet in length with a quick tapering tip. The rod should be rated for line in the range of 10 to 20 pound test. Lure weight should be 3/8 to 2 ounce. The rod of choice for me is an 8'2" two-piece model. I would guess that would probably be the Lamaglass Classic Glass, which is now the Battle Glass, perhaps. He doesn't say here. They do have a model just like that. It doubles as a perfect rod for spinner trolling. I know some fishing guides that are adamant about their fiberglass rods, believing that they outperform graphite. Some rods now have a mix of both composites, giving you the best of both worlds. Fiberglass does seem to have the great quality of a softer tip, enabling the plug to work more freely. The softer the tip, the faster the action will be on your selected plug. Now, I'm going to move on to a little bit here. First and most importantly when selecting a steelhead plug is that you choose a plug that will not fish too deep. This is a common problem for plug pullers. I never realized it could be a problem until a fellow guide pointed out why smaller is better. Smaller dives shallower. I know this is obvious, but the importance will hit you in the face if you don't know already. If you choose to fish a plug that dives deep, you will find your strike to hook ratio to be a bit frustrating. When I finally went to a shallower diving plug, my strike to hook ratio increased by over 30%. This is because when fish approach the plug to hit it, the hook is more exposed for penetration on a shallower diving plug. If your plug is not diving into the bottom, neither is your hook. For steelhead, I most often use a size 30 hotshot. Fish small. Your strike to hook results will be better. As for colors, I have always gone by the much advertised theory of bright colors on bright days and dark colors on dark days. I have one exception to that theory though. I have had great success on a small black gold pirate hotshot number 30 on any type of conditions, and metallic green is a consistent producer for me in many types of conditions. Other colors I will use on dark days, black Back, silver side, black or red build, mother of pearl, and black build, white body, the cop car. On bright days, metallic greens, chromes, metallic red, copper is good, metallic blue pirates and green pirates, all silver, gold, black, back, and metallic pink are all good colors. So, with all that in mind, that article and a lot more information in it, really good information about plug fishing. It was really cool to have it work out with my buddy Matt Golke fishing one of his, I believe is a quick fish, and putting a coon shrimp on that because I had caught a fish with Tyler Kraft with the same setup. He was running coon shrimp off the belly hook, and Tyler said that really makes them come up on it more. I had run them off the back hook before, which I got a lot of bites on it, but I hooked way less fish. They would often, I would get a takedown and it'd be gone. So anyway, on the belly hook, even though I got away with putting it on a treble, that's not ideal. You do want to put it on a sidewash, and got a steelhead to slam it at anyway. So that was really nice and it was fun. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening, and like I said, this article is on the website. It's one of the most recent ones. If you're listening right after this came out, thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you soon.